We have a strong God, amen? It's a good thing that He's strong, as if He wasn't, we'd be in a lot of trouble from time to time. You switch places. Now, I won't know, I won't know where you are now all day long, so. I'll be all discombobulated myself all day. That's kind of fitting for what we're going to talk about today, too, is that there's a country song that came out several years ago called Life is a Highway. So life's a journey, you could say, and life is a trip, and sometimes it's really a trip for some of us in those cases. So if life truly is a trip or it's a journey of sorts, where are you going? How do you know you're going to arrive when you get there? What are you using to help you along the way, to help you find your way? What guides do you use that kind of those road signs that help us along the way? You know, life can be confusing along that journey as well. We have to, if you're not paying close attention, you can miss your turn. Has that ever happened to you? Miss your exit, and then you're kind of wondering where you are. No, kind of wondering. You hear that if you're using GPS, you hear that term recalculating, you know, and it's trying to find where you are so it can help you out. Road signs sometimes are not the easiest to discern as well. Mike, go ahead and flip that picture up. There you go. Does anybody know what direction you're headed there? You're going north, south, west, and east all at the same time. That's an actual road sign. On your way coming back from my folks' house, I had to stop one time and actually take that picture because I know which direction I was heading, but we've read and heard that you're to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, if we're traveling with road signs like that, you got to have some faith, right? That you're being headed in the right direction, because sometimes it is difficult to figure that out and know where we're going with faith. Most of us today, when we need directions, we use GPS. Now, I'm one of the few guys that on rare occasions, very rare occasions, I'll stop and ask for directions. More times than not, I'm poking Renee, hey, wake up, or here, get your phone out and find out where we are and tell me where to get, how we can route around this. We're looking for a direction. So again, what are the things that help us to find the directions? Well, God has given himself to us. And He's given us His Word, the Bible, that we have called a roadmap of sorts to life. It's a tool that we have that helps us navigate the ups and downs and the twists and the turns and the curves of life. So we need to consult God's Word if we're needing help. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go into the book of, I almost said Ephesians. We've been in Ephesians for so long that we're actually changing now. We're in the book of Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. If you'd like to use one of the Bibles on the back of the pew in front of you, you can turn to page 174. Now remember, that Bible begins to renumber with the New Testament. So you're in part 2 of the book at page 174, and you should find Hebrews chapter 11, and you can find verse 1 there pretty easily. What we're going to do, we're going to read through some of these verses this morning, and we're going to find three things that's going to help us in our walk of faith with God. Some things that we learn from that we're going to kind of pull out of these verses. And then over the next several weeks, we're going to stay in Hebrews 11, and we're going to read about these people that are mentioned there and how they, by faith, followed God and how, by faith, they lived their life day in and day out in following God. And that's going to help us discern and know what we need to do as we follow God and live by faith, all right? So let's read Hebrews chapter 11, pick up in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now jump down to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You know, in some sense, as we're kicking this series off about faith, kicking it off on the weekend that we celebrate our Golden Seniors, It's pretty fitting in my mind, because we stand on their shoulders of the faith that they've lived out through the years and the things that they have taught and passed on to us from generation to generation. And it increases us, or it should increase our faith as we continue to follow God today. Now, what did we read here? We read that faith is what? The assurance. And we sometimes don't think of faith as being assurance, because we think in terms faith is risky. There's always this element that is unknown when we're contemplating steps of faith or our walk of faith. But faith, it says, is the assurance. Faith is the basis of what we can depend upon in life. The object of our faith is what we have to depend upon in life as well. So faith is not just something we hope, wishful thinking, and that's kind of what we interpret this word hope for. Really, that word hope means confidence. So it's the confidence we have and the assurance we have, the things that we haven't just been seen yet. There's convictions that hold us steady and hold us true in those things as well. Now, I like the Message translation of verse 1. It says this: the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. It's foundational to us. See, it's that assurance that we build our life upon that we have in God. Now, I said we're going to pull out three things. All right, here's number one. Allow faith in God to reveal what is real. Allow our faith in God to reveal what is real in life. Faith, again, is the fact of existence. That's what we read. It's being sure. It's the assurance of things that we have. It's what we count on. It's what we depend upon. I know that in some sense is a foreign concept to us, because we don't think in faith being established or dependable. It moves because of that element that's unknown there. How do you know something is real or fake? That's big news today, right? Let's talk about it. So how do we know what's real or fake in life? For many, they don't know how to answer that question, particularly when it comes to matters of truth, because matters of truth to many folks, it changes from person to person and circumstance to circumstance. So some folks just really don't know how to answer that question of what is real and what is fake. But see, that's not assurance. That's not dependable. So we're talking about things that are dependable, that are sure. We read that it assures, dependable, it's the same for everyone. It doesn't change, it's foundational, it's what we build our lives upon. Now get this, only in faith then can we know the reality of life. Did you catch that? Only in faith can we know what the reality of life is. That's because without a spiritual dimension of life, without living our life in the spiritual realm with God, we're living a fake life. That's true. Now, why is that? Well, let me share with you. Remember, in the days of creation, we read and we know that God created, and He created nothing, created out of nothing all that is. He created man and woman. And man and woman did what? They walked with God daily in the garden. They lived in paradise. They lived in total perfection. Everything was fantastic. Everything was great. And God and man lived together. God walked in the garden daily with man and woman. And man was created for God. And man was created to live immortality as well. But then sin came in. And sin changed everything. Then man no longer walked with God. God no longer walked with man in the garden daily. In fact, man, because of his sin, was moved out, tossed out of the garden. And then man no longer lived with immortality, began to die. See, sin changed everything. And the only way that we can have life in real life is to move back into that presence of God. And the only way that happens is through His Son, Jesus. Because it's Jesus who left heaven. And He came and He died on the cross, making the payment for our sins, and then resurrected, showing that He had the power to conquer the consequences of sin, which is death, reuniting us with God. And that's how we find eternal life. So our relationship with God is through Jesus. And that's the only way we can experience real life. Now, I don't know where I got this next quote, but it's very fitting here. Faith is living in the hope that is so real it gives absolute assurance. Let that sink in. Faith is living in the hope that is so real that it gives absolute assurance. Over the next few days or next few weeks, take this chapter 11 of Hebrews and read through it and read about those people and maybe even track them back into the Old Testament and read about their stories or about their lives and see how they lived with God. And what you'll discover is the same thing we're going to discover as we get into this, is that when God spoke to these people, when God made promises to these people, they responded as if God's promises and God's word had already taken place, even though most of them never experienced or did not experience everything that God promised them. They adjusted their life. They changed their journey with God and walked with Him based upon what He told them, even though everything had not been experienced completely just yet in their life. They counted it as fact, as it already had happened. Now, this word assurance is used or derived even two other times in the book of Hebrews. Back in chapter 1, when the writer is talking about Jesus being one with God, it says He's the exact representation of God on the earth. And therefore, we have that assurance that if we see Jesus, we see God. If we have Jesus, we have God. And then in chapter 3, he talks about that Jesus is our assurance, that He's our confidence that we have in life. He's our confidence in eternity as well, and the power and the presence of God is with us. So again, faith is solid ground. It's reality that we build our lives upon while we await the promises of God to be fulfilled. So how do I know these things, though? Well, I'm trusting in God's Word. That means I have to read God's Word. I have to study God's Word. I have to apply God's Word. And therefore, I can trust it and know that it's what He has given to me to help give me guidance in life. Ever seen somebody walk with a seeing eye dog? You seen that? Well, what happens? If the dog stops, the person stops. If the dog moves, the person moves. If the dog's right, left, that person doesn't see and doesn't know everything that's going on around them. They have faith. See, that's what faith does. As one writer put it this way, he says, faith also provides an insight into realities which otherwise remain unseen. A person with faith lets these unseen realities from God provide a living and effective power for daily life. Wow. So faith then gives me insight to things that are not seen yet, and it gives me the power, the ability to step out and do and to work. Faith shows me what's real. See, we cannot possibly know everything that's going on in the world. I mean, as much as you may be on the internet and watch CNN or Fox News or whatever you're watching, you can't know everything that's going on in the world. You can't even know everything that's going on around you. And we certainly do not know everything that's going to happen to us in our totality of life. We cannot see from the beginning of our life to the end of our life. We can't even see what's going to happen in the next 2 hours of our life. Ah, but God can and God does. And so if we're following Him, and we're depending upon Him, and we're trusting Him, He's going to bring us to life. He's going to show us what's real in life. So we're going to allow our faith in God to show us what's real, to give us real life. Secondly, and this one may should list at this one first, we're going to allow faith to reveal God. We're going to allow our faith to reveal who God is. Now, reveal or revelation is just a big term that there's an unveiling of sorts. God's going to reveal Himself to us or show Himself to us. And God does this in many ways and every day to us. We may not be able to see Him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't experience Him. We may not always know that or understand where He is, but we know that He's there, He's with us. And see, here's the thing. The more I practice faith, the more I live in faith, the more I see God. Every time I take steps of faith, God's revealing himself more and more to me. So the more I live in faith and the more I practice my faith, the more I'm going to see God. Several years ago, there was this children's movie that came out about Christmas time. Title song was called Believe, and it kind of captured a nation for a while, and that was kind of the big thing for a long time. The movie title was The Polar Express. It was a story about a young guy that was having struggles that particular year, whether he was going to believe in Santa Claus or not. And so on Christmas Eve, this magical train comes by his house, picks him up, and whisks him away to the North Pole. Well, along the movie, he has different encounters with this conductor that's in the train, and he talks about belief at different junctures. And one time he made this comment to this young man. He said to this young man that seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we cannot see. Some things, the most real things in life are the things we cannot see. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? Think with me. Have you experienced and do you know love? Do you have hope? Have you made commitments to things? Now, if we can know and experience and put our faith and maneuver our life, you know, change our life to that walk, depending upon what we're communicating or what we're committing to or what have we have hope in or the love that we're sharing and expressing, if we can adjust our walk of life to those things and have faith, why can't we do that with God? I said, you were shaking your head that, yes, you've experienced or received and you've given love. And that you've made commitments. The same faith muscle it takes to do that with love or commitments is the same faith muscle it takes to believe in God. It's the same faith. Now, it's because we believe in emotions. We believe in love. We know that God has given us Jesus. So, can we not take the next step? Can we take that next step and go a little deeper or trust a little more? See, if our faith is strong enough, or if our belief is strong enough, we will hinge our whole life upon what we say we're believing. Now, the word we used, the word we read here, was conviction. What's conviction? Conviction is a strong belief that we say that we will stand upon or will fall upon. Nothing else matters. I'll stake my whole life on the things that I'm convicted about. If I have this deep conviction, I think I'm going to stake my life upon it. That's reality. That's assurance. Because I'm saying I'm going to rise or fall based upon this thing that I believe. And I believe it in the sense of in my mind and in my heart, and that changes or it moves me to action. So it's a commitment that I have. It's conviction I have from my mind and in my heart. And then I move with my life. I believe it to move me. Abraham's one of the guys we're going to read about. He did this a couple of times in his life. Abraham met God, and God says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of a great nation, so you need to move where you are into this new land that I'm going to give you. And Abraham starts packing, and he gets ready to go with God. He says, okay, God, where are we going? He says, I'll let you know when we get there. God doesn't tell him. He says, we're going to head out this direction. He says, I'll give you this land. Abraham counted what God told him as fact, and he adjusted his life's journey based on what God said to him. He did it in a rather extreme way later on when he pulled that knife out and he was going to plunge it into his son, Isaac, his only son. Now remember, God had said, you're going to be a father of a great nation. He had one son. And God says, now you're going to offer him to me. He pulls the knife out and the angel stops him and he realizes God is faithful and I can trust him and he's going to meet every need of my heart. He's going to meet the needs of my life. When we follow and we allow our faith to move us, it's going to show us the realness of life. And as our faith grows, we're going to see more and more of God. We'll see God clearer because we're living in faith. I told you three things. That's two of them. Allowing our faith in God to show us reality. Allowing faith to help me to see God. And here's the third one. Faith is how we receive from God. Faith is how we receive from God. Now, don't put your notes away yet because you're going to want to write some other things down. Actually, I'm going to give you something right down here in just a minute anyway. All right, so faith is how we receive from God. Verse 2, verse 3 says that these gained approval because of their faith. Verse 6 says it's impossible to please God apart from faith. So faith here means I don't have to understand necessarily all the ways that I got here to know something's real. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we practice and live by faith every day. How many of you came here by car? Right, did you all question or think that that car was not going to get you here this morning? You had faith in that car that it was going to get you here. See, you know, now, I know some of you know how to do more than a car than put gas in it and turn a key on. But that's really all you have to know to operate an automobile. Well, you have to have a driver's license and all that stuff. I know that too. But I mean, actually to get one to work. That's what the mechanic's for. You take, if something breaks, you take it to the mechanic, you trust he's going to fix it, and then you're off and drive it again. You just know you got to put gas in it and how to turn it on, turn it off. You don't have to understand everything there is to know about it to know that it works and it's real. We don't have to know everything there is to know about God. We can't know everything there is to know about God to know that he's real and he's here. If you want to go in maybe a little different direction or a deeper direction, philosopher for hundreds and hundreds of years, they've been trying to figure out how the world was created and how the world was formed. And apart from a spiritual dimension of creation, they can't come up with any answers. Scientists, they've not fared any better apart from a spiritual being of God. You know, theories are theories because they can't be proven. Yet we teach them like they're facts. And in those theories, sometimes they assume, both of the philosopher and the scientist often assume things that are well beyond, there's a great burden there. And sometimes they assume certain things beyond competency at times. But yet, Christians, that's what they all think about us because we live by faith. What did we read in verse 3? Is that we understand. Well, what is it that we understand? Well, this word understand means that we have a perception that's beyond the sensual. Now, what's that mean? It means it's a perception that comes only from God. It really means that we've comprehended or that we've apprehended it, that we've gotten it. It's like we've come to this aha moment of life. I get it! You ever told somebody a joke and they just stand there and look at you? I don't get it. Well, see, many people don't get this thing about a relationship with God because you have to understand faith. You have to live in faith. Many believers even, people who say that, I believe in God, I know these facts about God, I trust those things about God, but they really don't believe because they don't understand and operate and live by faith. And so they're void of a lot of the power and the presence of God in their life. Let me give you a couple thoughts here. This is one of the things you're going to write down. Faith is what leads us to rational reflection. Faith is what helps us rationally see things about life, all right? I'll show you what I mean. People today will drink alcohol or take drugs. And that influences their life. It influences their outlook. And in many cases, they become so overly influenced that they're dependent upon it in life. It's a coping mechanism they use. I meet very few people that don't tell me these words when I harass them a little bit in fun about drinking. It says, well, it helps me to de-stress. Okay, so the way you cope with life is that you put chemicals in your body to help things run a little smoother, in other words. So that's how they cope. Life has gotten so hard for them that they use these other things in their life to avoid dealing with their stuff. I'll put certain things in my life, or I'll put certain things in my body so I don't have to deal with the hard things of life and figure it out. Now, some folks will use alcohol and drugs. Some folks will use jobs. You know, they'll work and they'll work. I'll work. I'll go to bed. I get up. I go to work. Come home from work. I go to bed. And it's that vicious cycle because they're workaholics, and it's because they don't want to deal with anything in life. So they pour everything into their work. They don't deal with relationships. They don't deal with people. They don't deal with what's going on in their own life. Some folks will use relationships because they know that they have this need of affection. They have this need of attention, but yet they can't deal with the baggage that all of us have in our life, so they just hop from one relationship to the next, to the next. They don't want to be alone. They can't live alone, so they just hop around. Again, it's a coping mechanism. And for as we as Christians or church folks get too smug in ourselves, we do the very same thing, folks. Churches do the same thing. Churches that have lost a sense of faith in God move to living in their traditions. Because it's easier to live in your traditions of your comfort zone than it is to walk in faith with God. I mean, when I started getting into the study, I began to ask this question about my own life. God, where is it that I'm choosing not to take a step of faith with you? What is it you're asking me to trust you in that for some reason I can't? And what else am I putting in its place that's becoming my coping mechanism because I don't want to deal with something in my own life? See, faith brings us to rational reflection. And see, this is the big piece that we've said before, but this is the big piece of this. Only in faith can we know real have real life. Only by operating in faith with God can we have real life. And we will go to extreme measures to avoid this. God, I can figure this out. God, I can work and be good enough. God, I can do God. And we'll do everything and we'll put all kinds of things in our lives and we'll avoid all other sorts of things. When the real rational answer and logical answer is to move our life closer to God and trust Him and follow Him. Now here comes the clincher. Verse 6. It doesn't say that faith is one of many ways to please God. It says faith is the only way to please God. Now why is that? Why is faith the only way that we can please God? It's because when I trust God and I'm saying, God, I trust you with everything of my life. God, I'm willing to make the adjustments of my life journey, my life traveling on this road to follow you. God, you are first in my life. You're the most important of my life. God, seeing and experiencing your glory, letting it shine from my life into others' life, that becomes the priority of my life. And that becomes the most important thing. And God becomes first. Now that's why sometimes God will take some of those warm, fuzzy things that we like in life and He'll start pulling them away from our life. And we don't like it. It's uncomfortable. He'll take us out of our comfort zone. A lot of those things that we like and we depend upon, we're depending upon more than we're depending upon God. God will begin to move them out of our lives. So that we can see that we can trust Him, that we can see that it is by faith that we really need to live and following Him. And it's faith that brings real life to us, and it's faith that helps me to see God clear, and it's faith that I receive from God. Is that how God's working in us? How many of you do or have taken medication for illnesses, for an illness, gotten sick, doctor prescribed medicine? Okay. You can say you believe in that medicine, believe what the doctor said, and you say, I'll take that medicine, I believe it'll change my life, it'll help it. You know, I'll get well. And you can go to the pharmacist, pay your money, get the medicine. You can go home and pull out that paper and read all those scary things about the side effects that will scare you half to death. And then you can put it in the cabinet. And it will have no effect whatsoever in your life. Only when you take it, bring it into your life, that's when it works. You say, you can say, I believe in God. You can say, you trust God. But until you follow God, it means nothing. You can say, God, I will trust you in whatever situation, but then when that situation comes, you have to take the steps. You have to take the walk with God for it to be seen and be lived out. What step of faith might God be asking you to take today? Where is God might asking you to trust Him? Is it with your eternity? I mean, I can look over the crowd, and even some of you I don't know, I can about surmise you've been in church. You know the facts. Again, you know that Jesus left heaven. You know that He was born on the earth. You know that He died on the cross for your sins. You know that He resurrected, again, conquering the consequences of sin. You know those things. And you say you believe them, but have you adjusted the walk of your life and accepted it? And live it day by day. Take a step and a walk with faith with God. Maybe it's something to do with a job, health, family, kids, grandkids. Been struggling with, have been wrestling with it. Lose sleep at night over it. Can you take that and say, God, you take control of it. And God, I'll adjust my life. I'll adjust my walk. And whatever you tell me, I'll count it as fact. Whatever you promise me, I'll count it as fact. Even though I may not see it for a long time take place, God, I'm going to live walking with you, trusting you. We have a variety of ministries that go on. Maybe you're leading one of those ministries. Maybe you're contemplating becoming part of one of those ministries. Where's the faith step that God's asking you to take? You know, God may ask you to stop doing something. You know, stop doing something is harder than starting something many times. God's saying, I want you to stop doing what you think is good so that I can give you what's best. That's hard, I know. But again, it's making the adjustments to your walk of faith with God. Becoming part of a new church family, that's hard too, I know. Where is the first step of faith, or maybe the next step of faith, that God is asking you to take in your walk with Him? And will you do it today? Let's pray. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you teach us yourself how faithful you are and how dependable you are. And really, God, as we've seen today, faith as we walk with you is the most dependable thing that we can have. It's the assurance of life that we have when we look to you. So God, I pray. God, I pray for those that may need to take that next step of faith with you today. Whether it's in believing and giving their life to you, whether it's in receiving a promise from you and counting it as fact, even though they've not seen the results just yet, they're going to believe and they're going to walk with you. God, draw us to you. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Give us that assurance of your faithfulness, which should prompt our faithfulness to you as we walk this journey of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together. As we sing, you make the movements. As God's prompting, you take that step of faith to follow Him this morning. as we pray. Take those words you were singing to heart. I like that phrase. The only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. That means we're going to take the step of faith and we're going to walk next to Him. Can you do that? Can you pray and ask God, show me, God, what the next step is? I don't need to know what third step, fifth step, or tenth. I just need to know the next one. And I'll take it. God, again, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that you want to operate in faith with us because, God, when we take that step with you, that's when your power comes in and through us. And that's where the joy of life is lived and experienced. God, help us to live there day by day. God, as we continue in our time of commitment, and God, it is a faith step to take when we begin to give our resources, whether it's through obedience and tithes or giving beyond that tithe and the offering. Again, God, it's a step of faith, believing that you're going to use those funds as to help others to know you, but also, God, that you're going to supply our needs, and we're trusting you for that. So, God, bless while we give. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated while we give.